Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. The song you heard was Music Box Dancer by Frank Mills, and tonight we have a super, super special guest. Her name is Fran Baskerville, and Fran is very, very well known as the famous singing psychic. Fran actually sings her predictions, and she has been on all the major talk shows. She has also found well over 5,000 missing children. Fran is really one of the nicest people I personally have ever talked to over the phone, and I just cannot wait to introduce you. She's very, very magical, and all I can say is if you have anything you want to find, contact Fran. She actually has her very own detective agency, and her website is www.singingpsychic.com, and that's S-I-N-G-I-N-G, psychic, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C.com. So without anything else, let's go ahead and bring Fran on. Hello, Fran.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing tonight?
Just great. And I hope everybody out there is doing great.
Oh, I hope so.
Me too. You know, I've had a lot of miracles in 1979. I was hit by an 18-wheeler lumber truck, and basically my Chevy Impala was picked up and midair, and I went on the other side and saw the angels and my father who'd passed on. And it's been different ever since. I've been able to find missing kids and help people with their lives.
Wow. So you were just driving along and...
Well, I was actually parked at the beauty shop. And it's a very small street. And the lumber truck didn't see me, and it backed into my passenger side of the car and had this little voice tell me to lay against the driver's door. I would have really been gone, and I had splinters in the retina of my eye. But they're okay. And... my ribs were broken, the artery in the back of my brain was broken. No one could see how I came out alive. The car was totally squashed and totaled, and, God just works in many different ways. And I've always been a Christian, and I believe he helps me find these missing kids, you know?
Wow. Fran, was it only after the accident that you had this gift where you just could
find them? Then I noticed it. But I had dreamed where they were, anything I thought about, you know, all of a sudden I could do. I worked at Texas Instruments here in Dallas, and I was working in blueprints, and all of a sudden I knew how to change them and save them millions of dollars at Texas Instruments. I just thought it worked for that, and pretty soon I found I could find missing kids and look on the news, you know, when I saw a news broadcast or something about a missing kid. And it just kind of kept coming and getting stronger. And then I later found my grandmother was a very good psychic, but it was a very hidden secret in our aristocratic family. And, of course, my mother always knew what I was doing, so I very seldom ever got away with anything. She would say, I'm named after you. And she said, Frances, what are you going to do tonight? And I said, Mother, what do you think I'm going to do? And that's kind of how it went, but... my granddaughter is 9, and she's very, psychic, but we really don't want her to develop it right now, you know.
Right. She's a little young.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to pick up on everything people are thinking. You can't study very good that way.
You're just constantly reading minds. Is that right, Fran?
I try not to, really. But
do you?
When I drive down the street, I know what happened, what they had for supper. It was really aggravating, you know. In a way, I'm going, no, not now, Frances, no, you know. But it has come in handy. The first 10 years I was just a psychic, I found over 5,000 missing kids. And, I did a radio show, just called up, they put me on, and it kind of started there, and then I did Letterman and Good Morning America and a whole bunch of different shows, and your show, of course, and I think your show is a real inspiration for people.
Oh, thank you.
And I think that, I know it has been for me.
Well, you know, it's people like you that really, you know, let us know, Fran, that life goes on the other side. I mean,
it does. It's wonderful on the other side, but you have to wait till your time to go.
Oh, okay. So you cannot just, when you actually had the accident, could you have stayed on the other side?
It seemed like I could have. It seemed like, you know, I was there holding my dad's hand who had recently passed on. And anyway, and I could see all the light and I could, you know, see all my relatives and, you know, I don't remember all of it right now. But anyway, I do remember looking down and I could see my whole lifetime for my three children. It looked like if I didn't come back, my daughter would die at 15. She almost did. She was 12 then. And basically, and I looked at my dad. I could see one life for her where she died at 15, one life where she lived to be an old lady and had, you know, my granddaughter. And I saw who she would marry and and all that. And I thought, looked at my dad. I said, I guess I have to go back. And he's going, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
you know, and so the angel kind of twirled me back on the 18-wheeler, hanging on the back end of the lumber truck. And the lumber was holding the car up in midair.
Oh,
he waited till he got to the stop sign to find me.
Well, how did you just, I mean, okay, so like from that point on, you started being able to find these kids, but what was it that made you kind of get a detective agency? Was that like another step in your?
Well, yes, I found out in Alaska, I found 250 kids there. I was doing a radio show in Cincinnati, Ohio, and this mother cried and called me every night, and and she was, you know, and father about their son that went on a crab boat search or something to make some money, and they said he was dead, but I didn't believe it. And when I was doing that radio show, I basically told him no, he wasn't dead, and they told him that he was, but he, you know, was in a cult there and had been brainwashed, and that's what happened to him. And, yeah, they thought they're healing the world, and some of them were their lost tribesmen.
Oh.
And yeah, that's when I started working with lawyers, and then I called the White House. I think Nancy Reagan was there. And the ones they thought weren't spiritual, they were selling to the Russian different places, the boatmen, and so you know, that went into a big investigation. And in March of '86 is when I was there. I was there for actually 3 days after I was on David Letterman, and I ended up being there 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You just found these kids according to where Spirit led you. And, Fran, whenever you find these kids, if some of them, like you found, weren't alive or something, how do you handle
that? Most of them
that?
Have been alive, actually. Most of them that I look for are alive and they're stolen.
Yeah.
But,
oh, they're stolen. Yay, they're alive. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I
hate to find people that aren't alive because it makes me feel bad and I feel what they went through, but I have found a few that weren't. And just because I felt sorry for the parent, like in Canada, and I've gone all over the world hunting for missing kids. And it is nothing like the feeling of having that wonderful feeling that you've helped, the Lord's used you, or you've been a channel for something like that.
Right. Right. Well, do your specialty... All right, let's say somebody wants to find out something about a missing husband or a missing wife. Does your specialty only lead you to be able to see, you know, like the missing children? Do they have to be children?
No, I actually can see a lot more. But now I have my licensed private investigator with the Baskerville Sherlock Holmes investigations also. And because I'd found so many missing kids and I'd worked with the FBI on you know, missing kids and stuff like that. Because we're both working on them. If your child's really missing, they're on the case too. And I'm usually pick it up psychically, but in the courtroom, I'm an expert witness as a private investigator. you know, and with my company licensed in the state of Texas by the federal government. And that's detectiveinvestigator.com. And you can go to it from my Singing Psychic website also.
Detectiveinvestigator.com. Okay. They probably aren't going to bring a psychic as much into the courtroom, you know, as an expert.
That's right. And I started working with lawyers after Alaska. And, I was just shocked, you know. Before that, I thought the world was like Mary Poppins. I'd always had a good life. And my mother always saw the best in people and still does. She's be 93 soon. And, you know, she would... the worst person could come over to our house, and my mother could see something beautiful about them.
Aww.
And all of a sudden, they would realize something most beautiful about them, and they would change.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow. So you were able to, well, whenever your children, like, they did something wrong, were you able to see what they were really up to?
Yeah. And my children are pretty psychic, too, yeah. You know? But we just called it intuition, you know, smartness. Like that. We didn't really know what it was, you know. But psychic I had never heard until 1979, until 18-wheeler hit me. And it took me about 2 years to believe in it, quite frankly.
Did it? Because you couldn't figure out why you could read minds and knew all the stuff you knew? Is that it? You thought,
I just thought I became much smarter all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I wonder, I've heard this often.
I guess,
you know,
I let it come in, you know.
What's that?
I let it happen, you know.
You let it. You open yourself, and you let it come
in.
Yeah,
where I kind of pushed it away before because it was weird as a kid. Yeah.
Well, that's it. It's so different than what we, you know, we're not taught to let ourselves go into that sixth sense or whatever it is, Fran.
That's right. Hans Hoser had to. I met him years ago in New York, Hans Hoser, and he had a ESP Foundation there, paranormal, and Joe Franklin introduced me to him, and he did some kind of psychic test, and he wanted to give me a letter of recommendation. I said, I don't need that. What do I need that for? And I'm on the radio show. Okay, and so anyway... My better half just ran. And so anyway, it drives me everywhere. So when I pick up stuff, I don't go too trancy. So anyway, it just, it began. And everybody wanted to give me letters of recommendation. I didn't know why. I thought it was kind of dumb at the time. I said, and Joe Franklin said, what do you want to do with your career? And I said, what career? I just want to tell people about miracles.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. You actually wrote a book, Miracles of Life, and you have a CD, Miracles of Life. Because I have that CD. It's beautiful.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
That was one of the first songs I wrote.
Really?
And it comes through space with me, because that was telling about the accident and how we're on the other side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And how I saw the angels, and I was swirled back in the car. But, yeah, a miracle of life was, and it was like, you know, I had it so strong at five. But Hans Hoser, what I was going to tell you, is he did some studies on kids, and all of them were very psychic when they were tiny, and put them in little booths, and they'd all pick up the same toy at the same time and do this and do that, you know. And then as they got a little bit older, a year older, part of them had lost it, maybe one-third. And then as they got to be about three or four, you know, I don't remember exactly the age. I don't have the book before me, but half of them had lost it. And, you know, and then that's how it went on. Because, you know, kids are taught not to believe in these things. And I just call it intuition with my granddaughter, or just, you know, you sometimes you feel things.
Just feel them, yeah. There's nothing wrong. That's pretty much what I guess spirit is that intuition. And maybe your accident just got your intuition going to the point you have to use it. I mean, if you didn't use what you know, when I heard you, Fran, I was listening to a radio show. I think it was Howard Stern, and I heard you singing. And you were like singing a prediction, and I thought, wow, and something resonated in me. It's almost like, well, I'm very music-oriented, so maybe that was the music. I don't know, but, you know, I just knew you were right on, and I thought, wow, I'm going to do an interview with her because, you know, I think she knows what she's doing. And then when I found out you were finding all these missing kids, I just thought, wow, you know, that's a great way to spend your life, helping other people find their children, because we all...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very sad thing when one's kidnapped, especially if you can get there before anything happens to them, you know?
Well, that's it. I mean, and if they call you or they're lucky enough to find you, I mean, I guess the people listening to this show will be able to find you. And
mm-hmm.
Are you still, you're still practicing, right, Fran?
Oh, yeah, I'm still practicing. I've, you know, had a little slow down here this last few months. But I've had a miracle on that. And,
you have.
And
you're sounding really strong.
I've had lots of miracles in my life, and I hope everyone does.
I do too, Fran. You know, I was going to ask you, are you up to taking any calls or what?
Certainly, and I'm up
all
to
right.
talking about these, Ricky Lee's...
Ricky Lee Jones, yeah.
Jones, horse. Let me turn this on here.
Yeah.
You want me to do that first? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had horses, and I trained them with ESP. I just, you know, looked at them and... with my thoughts, sent them pictures of what I wanted them to do, and that's
okay.
how I bought them at the auction. And they said, "Lady, you don't want this horse. She's mean, and she's hurt two people." And I said, "Oh, she won't hurt me." And that I hadn't even didn't know that much about horses, really. And, you know, I got on her, and she walked as pretty as she was. You know, she part walked real good because she knew she was in deep trouble in this auction because she had some kind of fly sore on her. And she wanted out of there, you know. But she and I bought her, and she became my horse, and I bought nine of them. And she was the leader, you know. And, yeah, she's you can train them with your mind, sending them pictures. And my ranch hand from New York said, "How'd you get all those horses to run up here to get their grain?" I didn't want to tell him about it because he didn't believe in psychics. That I just... I showed them a picture of eating their grain, and they all ran and stampeded in it.
Thank you. Just gave them a picture of it. Yeah, we recently had Ricky Lee Jones, the singer-songwriter, as our guest, and Ricky Lee has some horses that she's trying to give away, not sell, but give away. And so I had mentioned that to Fran because... You know, they're both horse lovers, and Ricky, actually, one of her horses, I just found out, you know, after I found out the names, one of them was stolen. I hate to know.
That's all. I think the stolen one looks like to me that that stolen one is going to be doing is okay and safe, but they should have bestowed it, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Horses have feelings. They're very smart and intelligent. They really are.
Everything about them are just so beautiful. You are.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, they are. They're real smart, aren't they, Fran? They really are.
They're terribly smart, intelligent. In fact, my lady, after I did a little bit of, you know, psychic things, showing them pictures and stuff, and I did it with my dogs, too. But anyway, basically what happened was they would come and look at me when I come into the a ranch late at night because I was doing so many shows at that time traveling around the country, and I had another house in Dallas, and they look at me, and they wouldn't come close enough for me to pet them. And then finally I noticed two of them was knelted down by the pump house, and they had stepped over where my ranch hand was supposed to make a greenhouse for me, you know, some organic food and little things like that. And they were going into the barn, and I noticed the barn was open, and they were going like Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. They were going in there one by one, and so I wouldn't notice them.
You wouldn't notice them? Oh.
Going to get their own feed, you know, which is dangerous because they can eat too much.
Wow, and, they can go ahead and eat too much. Well, do you, whenever you had your horse, or do you still, you have some now, right?
No, I don't. I wish I did. But I got so busy traveling around the country and helping people with missing kids that I never had time to be out there. So,
yeah.
I was doing Good Morning America, David Letterman, Dublin, Ireland. I still do a lot of shows around the country. And I'd like horses, but I don't have a ranch again. I'd have to go get a ranch, and I might do that one day.
Oh, God, I hope so. You know, it's like if you really have a love for some animal like that. I know that Ricky Lee.
I'm allergic to them, but I don't care about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter to me. You
know? Really expensive, I guess, to take care of, but, you know.
Well, they're not if you have enough acreage.
Yeah,
and you grow Burma hay or something like that, you know. And, you know, then you have to give them grain. And they are. You have to give them your shots. But my lady, and that wasn't her real, it was really some French name, but she has already been bred to Aaron Double, and he was in the Kentucky Derby the next year when her coat was born. And so when I named him Lord Fairfax Double, you know, when I sent it in, I said Lord Fairfax, and family name, and they changed it to Lord Fairfax Double. And but yeah, I had some beautiful horses, and they were some very old. I bought because I didn't want them to go to the glue factory, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But some of them were younger. But yeah, I do love horses, and I found out how brilliant they were.
Those eyes. Look at their eyes, and just oh my God. I had a friend that kind of liked to heal horses, and she would just know if there was a horse around that was hurting. And I thought, wow, man, that's really amazing because, you know, we all need somebody that knows when we're hurting to kind of reach out, like the missing kids or the horses or whatever. And I think Rick Lee kind of just mentioned to me, she said, would I put on a fundraiser or help her for her horses? And I thought, wow, I don't know too much about it, but I guess I could try because, you know, she wants to be able to give them away, but to kind of make some money to give to, like, a women's shelter in
LA.
That
would be good, that would be good, but, you know, people usually that will pay for them have the money to take care of them. But some people will take care of them anyway. I've seen a lot of poor people take care of them much better than rich people.
Why is that? You know, Fran, you're psychic. Why is it the poorer are more giving than the... I just don't understand. The
they have usually more love in their heart, and they don't care that much about money.
So the rich have this deep love of money and not of the people or the feelings or...
Yeah, well, there are some people. They're both, but very few and far between.
Well, what do you think, like, Bill Gates? Is he like both since he's given all his money away?
Well, I don't know about – I haven't even thought – I didn't know about that. I knew one time he was had a lot of money. But I think he's probably – since he's giving it away, who'd he give it to, everybody?
Yeah, he and his wife are traveling around the country and the world, and they're giving it. Evidently, he made a thing that he was going to give all his money away before he died. And
that's good. That's good. Maybe he'll give it away to something that will help people over a long period of time, hopefully.
Hopefully. Well,
we have to have the desire to know that we are worthy have money. It's okay to have money. It's okay to make money, and it's okay to love yourself enough.
Yeah,
take
that's
care
it.
Of yourself. And I went to the hypnosis years ago and lose a few pounds, and it was Harvey Davidson's Weight Clinic of America, and I did, and I saw people that were crippled get out of wheelchairs through hypnosis. It was amazing.
What? They were in wheelchairs and what?
Yeah, and most of them were normal, but some of them were crippled, actually, and had been crippled all their life, and it's amazing how powerful the mind. Of course, I always took my angels and the Lord Jesus Christ with me. But when I was in, as I always pray about it. But it's just amazing. Sometimes we have to accept it's okay.
Oh, okay. But whatever. Oh, okay.
And we can't say everybody needs to be healed. I don't know why it happens to some people and it doesn't happen to other people. And it was just amazing, you know. And
that's like I've heard about people just kind of getting out of a wheelchair and they start walking. I believe it. I just, you know, it just happens rarely,
but I think the hypnosis had, because our subconscious fights our conscious mind, and if we think we can never do anything, well, then we really can't. But if we can connect our subconscious with our conscious mind, we get in kind of that sleepy state in between wake and asleep.
Yep.
And you give yourself good suggestions that you can work out all your problems in your sleep, that, you know, you can have a great day the next day. You can, you know, be very successful. It's okay.
Exactly. Then
you start drawing things to you.
So we're doing
pray, I get
down
on my knees. My trick is my knees, you know, praying on my knees.
Oh, you get down on your knees. Oh, okay.
I sure do. I pray every night the Lord Jesus Christ about people, missing people, helping people, things like that. And when I don't do
really
that,
believe
I have a bad
it's
day.
It's a higher power. It's not Fran doing it, but a higher power.
That's right. I do believe that.
Maybe that's the whole key.
Well, that probably is a big key, but I've just seen we have such a power to heal within us, and I think it is from the Lord, God, whatever your religion is.
Right. It's from a higher power. Because why all of a sudden after your accident were you able to kind of like, I mean, not just two kids. You found five, you found more than that, didn't you, Fran? Like,
oh, yeah, I found thousands now, but I've been a private investigator for 18 years now. I can pull up more information, you know. But at first I couldn't pull up anything but just dream them.
Oh.
And now I'm actually quicker on finding them, you know, but just on the phone, hearing the person's voice, hearing, you know, it's called clairaudient. And then when I go to sleep or I get a picture, and or something of the child that they touch or the person, and I can tell what happened to them, you know. But usually I can by their voice of their loved one. And I was a ghost communicator for the movie Ghost for Paramount. Did some shows for them, you know, talking about people's ghosts.
Right. You've been involved with a lot of movie stars, haven't you, Fran?
Yeah, I have. Uh-huh. I've read for a lot. And I've been very lucky that way. And a lot of times I was too shy to go to any parties with them, too. But I meant to go, but I just got too shy. So I'd think of some excuse.
Why is that? I wonder. You know, I guess.
Oh, I was a very shy person originally.
Oh.
And I probably wouldn't have done any shows if I'd never been hypnotized. But I probably would have.
You would have been too afraid. Who hypnotized you?
Harvey Davis, White Cleaks of America. And I think he's a healer himself, actually. He was the first one who told me I was psychic, you know.
Oh, he was the one that told you. He was like a guide or something like that.
Well, I don't know if you call him a guide, but he told me, he said, because I was picking up about all these people and they had to make talk, you know. And I was doing weird things, and it came, but it would have come anyway, you know. I think it just kind of gave me the belief I could do anything, you know.
Well, you know, when I first talked to you, I won't mention any stars' names, but some of the stars that have contacted you are the biggest. I mean, they are the biggest.
Yeah, they are, and it's, you know, kind of a privacy thing.
Right. You can't
but,
really talk.
Although a lot of them, you know, wouldn't have minded back, you know, and I probably wouldn't, but, you know, I've been on thousands of shows, and I don't know how many.
Right, and you have
and,
to keep
and
but how did you hear about
shows?
Oh, from all the shows. Oh, okay.
And also, not just that, you know, big other big people put me on, you know.
Connected you, yeah.
But I was lucky, and I think the Lord led me. But the first time I ever thought about being a radio show, I just called up one here in town, and I said, I'd like to be on your show. And they put me on for 30 minutes.
Wow.
So that's how it all began. And when I was on Letterman, that was the first big show probably I was on ever. And I really didn't know how to be on a show, but it came to me. And, you know, it's just like that.
He just called you, huh, friend?
He saw one of my books, Miracle of Life, the first one, and his talent coordinator in 1986. Can't remember her name right now. But anyway, she called me, and Charleston Heston had just received my book, Miracle of Life 1, from Joe Franklin, and he had canceled, and so they called me to be on, and I had to fly in that morning, and I barely made it in time for the show.
Oh, wow.
And, so I gave him an album, you know, and like that. I had the songs from Cannonville then. And so anyway, basically, and I've done all kinds of things, actually. But the main thing is helping people, and I just say, okay, the Lord, what are we going to do today?
That's it, friend. You know, that's kind of the way that, if you know, we all let go, but sometimes we want to control. Like we say, well, whatever you want, God, but then this is how I want it. But basically that makes it harder, doesn't it, friend?
Yeah, it does. And every time I'd gotten scared about money after I quit Texas Instruments, you know, then I wouldn't have any. But every time I said, okay, Lord, if I'm supposed to be doing this, well, just help me. If I'm not, let me know what I'm supposed to be doing, and then I'd have plenty of money, see.
It was when you just were doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you let go.
Exactly, when I wasn't worrying about it, and I just gave it up. You know, many times I'd say, okay, if I'm not supposed to be doing this, I won't be doing this. And if I am, I will. Please let me know, you know. And then as soon as I let go and just gave up and realized the Lord was doing it, not me, well, then it started happening good.
Wow. So the money was there. That's a good thing, because if you have a lot of money, it's kind of hard to know what you're supposed to do. I mean, you think you're doing it all, and then God says, oh, well, your money thing. You know, we have a caller here that's been on since the very beginning. Could I bring them on and let's see if they may be just listening. Sometimes
sure.
If they don't have a computer, they listen, but let me see. Hello?
Hi. How are you this evening?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Yes. Hi. I'm doing well, thank you.
What is your name?
My name is Julia.
Julia, did you have a question for Fran or a guest? Fran,
yes,
Bethel?
Please.
All right. Fran, this is Julia.
Okay, hi, Julia. What would you like to know about?
Well, you were speaking about healing, and I would like to do some personal healing on myself to release some things, and also, anything in general you see around me that, you know.
Okay, the more specific, okay, your answer will be more specific. Okay, now, but we'll go with this. It looks as though I can see you feeling better in about 2 months. Oh, yeah, hey there. Oh, well. Oh, yeah, I can see things looking up for you. And you still need to take some high vitamins and iron and things like that. And it looks as though, and go to the doctor, but I see you getting better. Oh, yeah, and your feet getting better, too. Hey. There you go.
Ah. Great. That's wonderful, Fran. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow. So you see me getting better, and
uh-huh.
I should take some vitamins and iron, and my feet are getting better.
Yeah, your feet will get better. I think you have a little sugar problem or something.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think you have a diet thing. You know, you need to eat a better diet, but you're trying to.
Okay.
And,
is there anything like about a possible career at some point down the road or a direction to go in that would be?
Yeah.
You know,
how old are you, honey? I mean, not. Maybe you don't get that out. How?
I'm 46.
Okay. Well, it says so. I'd say I can see you working with three people, having your own business. Oh, yeah, but till then you just kind of be working a little job, but it'll have to be something not so stressful. Oh, yeah, for 2 or 3 months. Oh, yeah, hey. There you go.
That's really great. I've never heard anybody read like that.
That's how she does.
Well, I get it. I don't get everything in song, but I filter it down. I don't, for the FBI and like that, and police, I don't sing them songs.
Well, the healing in specific that I was talking about is I have like a compulsive
stomach problem.
Now, this is more of an emotional obsessive compulsive habit, like.
Are you on medication for that, honey?
Well, they just put me on some, but I haven't started taking it yet. But I was on a different kind of medicine, and it didn't really seem to address the
core of
the problem.
It takes a while to kick in. Is it a chemical imbalance?
No, it's, well, I hate
it
to
feels
really
like
there
it,
what
is.
It is.
Yeah, I think it's a chemical imbalance of some type, and there's many of them because of these all the stuff they put on these foods when they grow them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if we had our own, you know, organic garden, or if we ate, if, you know, the health food had, the health food really doesn't always have organic food. Sometimes
yeah.
It does, but if it doesn't have all these poisons on it when they grow it, you wouldn't be having this problem so much. You see.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because it's like when I'm out in public, like interacting with other women, and that seems to be the most stressful. So,
well, I think a little actually hypnosis would help you with the psychotherapist or a therapist, and to go back to your childhood, I think it goes back to a 5 or 6 year old thing that's just coming out now. And I think that. But I do see it getting better. But I want you to eat a very good diet, high in B's, B vitamins. Okay? And vitamins are the key for you. Oh, yeah. Hey there. And take that medicine, too, and take it for about a month, and then you'll feel just well. There you go.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Could you have her just repeat the name of the Harvey Davis hypnosis one last time?
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Harvey Davidson's, Harvey is in the heart. Davidson is spelled like the motorcycle, but he's here in Dallas, Texas. So you might be a little far from you, but there are other good therapists, but you have to make sure that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Call rescripting. This is called rescripting. They're like scripts people live,
mm-hmm.
like movie scripts.
Okay.
And quite often, if they do rescripting, and if they have a license to be a psychotherapist, or then that would be good.
Very,
you can call
okay.
me when you find one. We'll talk about them.
Yeah, you can find her at singingpsychic.com. And thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All
right. Have a great evening.
You too.
You too.
Wow, that was great. I'm sure she enjoyed the singing because, you know, we all have that part of our brain that the singing hits something. Doesn't it resonate some other part of our brain, Fran?
Yeah, I have had a lot of people when I put out that miracle song, you know, and about miracles, you know, I had when everything began, had people tell me their teeth got healed. I don't know, really, I didn't check it out, you know, really with their medical records.
Yeah, well,
but Beth Myers, and she told me her tooth got healed, and then her father got healed. I don't know. I guess it's making people happy. And they can accept the healing, you know, from the Lord.
Well, anybody out there, you know, now can they get the CD from you, Fran? Can they get that from you?
Yeah,
I
they can get that from me. And sure they can. It's called Songs from Beyond, and I'm fixing to put another one out. I've just been lazy.
Well,
but I am,
you know,
fixing to put another one out.
You found over 5,000 kids. I don't think you're lazy. I mean, you know, you may be slow, but no, I'm just kidding. It's so hard to get a CD out. You know, I'm so glad I got this for you because I thought, man, I was listening to some of the little songs on it, and I can tell y'all, she's, you know, her singing is like, if you really listen to the words, she's actually predicting some future whenever you're carried away.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
Man, I love it. I really love it.
You're like, you can play all the, you know.
Well, do you write a song or not for the horses or not?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get it written down, but I think it takes me 2 minutes to do this, see?
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Ricky Lee Jones, oh, yeah, hey, hey there. He's giving horses away. Oh, yeah, Prince Algal and Southern Belle. And Gypsy Lee Rose, Gypsy Rose. Oh, yeah, hey, hey. And it looks as though, I guess that she's got some she's keeping. And it looks as though the one that got stolen, Sunny Day, is just fine. But they shouldn't have took him. And she'll eventually get it back. And my horse she's not selling is Ella and used to be Reggie's wicked stepchild. But she's going to change it to Cinderella.
Uh-huh.
Close to Cinderella, right?
Uh-huh.
And it looks as though I can see many horses. And those horses will bless people all over. And I think they're real psychic, too. And you can just send them a picture, too, like I did mine. And remember, you treat them good, and they'll treat you good. And they're gentle as a lamb. There you go.
Thank you. Oh, it's so beautiful, Prince. I'll send her and I'll tell her to listen to this show. She will be so happy. You know, she just really loves her horses. And
they're very special.
Together, you know?
Yeah, I love animals, too. And actually, I bought a racehorse one time with a broken leg. Can you believe that?
Oh, Lord.
So it wouldn't go to the...
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh.
And it got well, actually.
You got it well? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. You know, I hear the thought of them putting these... Oh, man, no.
Yeah, that's why I bought it, baby. And I didn't know much about horses, but I went out there and slept with it and sneezed all day and had to take allergy pills. And they said, lady, don't you know that horse is going to hurt you? And she, because that one wasn't. It was real smart. And, of course, my favorite horse, lady, I said this time, you know, he was a beautiful horse, but he was only three. And when they race them at three, their knees aren't knitted. And, you know, they're not quite. If they were four, they would be much better.
So they're not even grown. Oh, geez.
They're not fully grown is what it is.
That's just not a good sport, huh?
Mm-mm. And, yeah, it's if they race them, wait a little bit longer than three, they'll give them steroids and all that. You know, it's hard for them because, it's real hard for their knees or their feet or whatever. Like that triple brown, big brown had a cracked hoof, you know. And when they raced him the last time or whatever it was, and I was glad it didn't get worse than that.
Well, you know, it's just like, I guess we haven't evolved, and we think that, you know, that other beings or other living creatures don't have the same pain thing, but they do. And I, you know, well, where I live, actually, in San Francisco, the people treat their dogs so kindly, and they seem to be more aware.
Yes, they do, actually.
They do.
They're animals. They don't put them down.
They're much more evolved as far. But then you have all your Belmont, you know, race play. You've got all the race tracks around here, so you kind of have the, you know, you have the both of them. But, well, listen, I would like to know, really, if you... Are you taking, like, new clients right now? Let's say somebody who is trying to find a child, or they know of a missing child.
They want a reading or just want to know about
their reading,
future.
A reading, anything. Yeah.
Okay, sometimes I can do it out of state, but it's 972-380-989 is my number. And,
okay.
Of course, it's also on SingingPsychic.com.
Okay.
And, yes, I am taking new clients.
You are?
I'm having static on the phone, but that's not uncommon with me being a psychic.
Why is that? Oh, you bring that energy out. I can hear
I know
a composer that has a problem. And you know what I told him about you, Fran, and I think I wasn't sure if you were still doing your trip, but, yeah, you are. So anybody out there that would like any questions answered, Fran is in business, and she will be more than happy to work with you. Now, you charge about what? I mean, what is it?
I charge pretty high, but I'm very fast. And I charge $5 a minute. My cheapest reading is
$25. $25, okay.
Uh-huh.
That's fair enough. I mean, you know, you got to have money to make the ends meet. You got to, you know, pay for your rent. And then when they go to the detective agency side, that's a whole different fee schedule, right?
Yeah, that's a whole different deal. It depends on what kind of case they have and what they want to look up. And I can work 10 days in another state, but I pull it up on the computer and get everything all set, and sometimes I can do it without going there.
Oh, so you don't even have to.
But most of the time I do go there to get evidence or a missing person or something like that, you know, so I can testify in court. But a lot of times I don't have to, so I already know what's going to happen.
You already know. Well, what do you have, like, advice to everybody listening as far as...
To be happy.
Yeah.
Realize you can overcome your problems and don't worry too much when you wake up. See the beauty in life every day and realize a lot of it is worries from your early childhood, and you need to just kind of realize that you're in control of your life.
And
let go.
So don't worry and just be as joyful as possible each minute.
That's right. And most people I read for, but you realize they're psychic too, and they have their own intuition, and everyone has it, you know.
We just have to develop it, but hopefully...
Well, sometimes it's just already in there, and you just have to let go and relax. For me, relaxing and wishing are the best things, and praying.
And just praying. Because I don't want to have an car accident. 18-wheeler.
Oh, nobody. No, people have asked me that hundreds of times. I said, oh, no, you don't want to do that. It was already there. It just kind of jogged me, you know. It's just because the Lord had to hit me over the head with a lumber truck to get my attention. But, you know, I was I did a lot of what I did anyway, but I just didn't call it anything extra. You know, I didn't think it was anything.
Well, you know, I think right now that the best thing we can do is really just pass on. You know, Fran, I think you're real special in the fact that you are totally, like, you're free, and you're not really judging anybody that calls you or asks you anything. I don't feel that about. I feel like you're unconditionally loving and... Nobody has to call you and be worried you're going to judge anything they need.
No.
No. I mean, you know, that's not why you're there. You're there to help them. And you know, Fran, I think you can help. Let me give your number out again. It's 972-30-0989. And that's Dallas, right, Fran?
Dallas, Texas. That's right.
Dallas, Texas. Okay. Like the TV show Dallas.
Yes, that's right.
They should have had Fran Baskerville, the singing psychic.
Actually, I was there. My daughter was an extra, and she dragged me out there. And she was, we were extras too. But I was a member of that, you know, deal. I had a production company at the time, Cannon Productions, and anyway, she dragged me out there to take her, and you know, she been quite a few things. She was in theater, arts magnet, and a whole bunch of things.
Oh, so she was extra in that. Wow.
Uh-huh. We were, too, because she dragged us out there. And then they recognized me eventually, but I had a wig on.
You were trying to. You can't even hide with a darn wig.
You're pretty funny. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. You know, you just try to be yourself, and then every now and then you'd like to be somebody else, but you can't even do that, huh, Fran?
Well, as a private investigator, I do have to fix up different, you know.
You can do that. I was looking on your website today for the private investigator. I think it's the first time I ever looked at that. But you know, that little picture of the pipe smoking.
A friend of mine that came to my meditation, she fixed my website for her and her husband when she got married. And she's made both those websites. And I haven't got the latest predictions on there, but, you know, I predict thousands of things every year, and I guess the latest one was a China earthquake.
You predict that?
Oh, unfortunately, I did, but I don't think it helped anybody get out of China about a week before it happened. And
what do you see for the Olympics in China, Fran?
I think it'll be okay. I'm sure going to pray that it will, but I think it's a little dangerous, right now. But I was more nervous about it early in the year, but
okay.
I think of it, and since my granddaughter ice skates, I wouldn't want her going over there this year. But she's 9. Yeah.
Oh, 9 years old. Well, what about the United States as far as nuclear attack or anything like that? Do you see anything like that for this country?
I think we kind of shouldn't have all these nuclear sites. I think that, it causes a lot of cancer. I think that there is something we'll find that will neutralize them better. But I think there's better energy sources, and I think that we should do drilling in Anwar. Because I used to trip over those things in Alaska, and I said, what is this big thing I'm tripping over? And, that is all well drilled already by Exxon. They just cap off and they recharge them. They say we'll drill it again, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's already there, you know, and they've already drilled it. And they're all over, because when I was looking for these kids, you know, I was tripping over them constantly.
You were tripping over them. Well, what do you see for the election, Fran? Who's going to be our state?
Well, that's a hard one now. I don't know. I think I might be wrong. Let me think on that one a minute. Here. Well, it says so, I'd say. Obama will lose, I'm afraid to say. I see him hanging his head after the election, stepping his feet. Oh yeah. And I think John McCain will come out ahead, but he really wants someone real liberal to be vice president, but I probably don't think he'll go for that yet, but he might. Oh yeah.
So he's going to be stamping his feet. He didn't get it. Okay. Well, you know, that is something that we all.
Yeah, he's kind of in and out of his body anyway. You know.
He is.
He's not. He's kind of very spacey, and because I guess he's went through that torture for 5 years or whatever, and I think he's Baptist. I don't know what he is, but I think Baptist is what I heard. But, I think he's a good man. I know he's wanted to be president for many years now.
Ah, he's going to be the president. Now, nobody would even know, you know, because it's like, who would believe? That's amazing. Fiction. Well, you know, we're all meant to be, because I thought Hillary was going to be that. Oh, she just kind of whatever. But I really.
Well, I think Bill didn't help her at all.
You don't. You think he stopped her? Huh?
Yeah, accidentally. You know, because he always say dumb things, and everything he'd say, you know, it, her ratings would go down. And Michelle's doing the same thing to Obama.
Obama. And
mm-hmm.
So McCain is going to come out on top.
I think he will.
He's kind of in pure spirit, what you're saying. He's not really in his body, so it's all going to work out.
Oh, yeah. The Lord will guide him. And, you know, I think Obama just has too many, would really mess up with the terrorists because he would try to make a deal with them and then they attack us, you know.
Yeah, I definitely think that's really interesting. Obama is not going to get. So what, I guess Oprah Winfrey is, this is just her first. Well, she is.
Oh, she's right. And he's very impressive. And he always hypnotizes people when he talks. I've noticed that. He has a hypnotic thing going
on.
Yeah,
he does. Uh-huh.
And he could be very good at, you know, at many things, but. I feel like that he does have a hypnotic thing going on, yes.
Just not his time yet.
I don't think it's his time, yeah.
No.
But,
well, what's going to happen to Hillary Clinton? Is she going to just fall off the...
No, she'll run again.
She'll run again.
She'll run again, and she's thinking she'll get it the next time, but she's going to be real mad if he doesn't pick her for vice president, which he probably won't. You know, because he didn't like her, you know. And Michelle can't stand her.
Oh. Well, what about McCain? Could he pick her or no? I guess she wouldn't cross over to the...
I don't think so. I don't think that he wouldn't pick her probably, but I think he has thought about picking Lieberman. You know?
Oh, Lieberman. Wow.
But he's kind of old, but, you know... I don't know who he's going to pick. I should want him to pick the Mormon. And I know they gave most of their money to the church when I worked for them. And, you know, that I had to finance my own deal there. It cost me $3,000 to go to Alaska to find those kids. And
uh-huh.
These people lived in a basement most of their life. And they had 2,600 acres, but they gave all their money to the Mormon church. And there's only like two or three that have the money. And this is an elder. And... you know, the Mormons are kind of give all their money to the church. And,
yeah, they do.
And
I didn't know only two or three had all the money, though. I thought they.
Oh, yeah, this is on the heads of the church, you know. Like, I really don't believe he's made all that money himself. I think it's the Mormon people.
The Mormon people.
Wow.
Because well, do you see that we're going to have a lot of weather problems? I mean,
well, I tell you, part of this weather problem, let's talk about that.
All right.
Okay, part of that is, you know, they can send planes over or some of those things stuck up in the sky, and they can just pierce a cloud and make terrible floods. There are things they can do. Many years ago, when I was at the International Psychotronics meeting, in 1988, the first one ever held in the United States, it was heads of governments there, and it was presented by the CIA as a psychic for the United States, and they were talking about then, you know, how you can make storms, and they had different storm machines. And I think that some of these storms may be terrorist things. Mm-hmm.
Terrorist. Okay, so it's man-made, you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, some of it, there's always going to be storms. There's always going to be, I predicted Katrina, you know, I predicted the tsunami. I didn't know what a tsunami was at the time, you know. I just saw the big waves and the Asian.
Was that man-made? Was that a man thing?
No, I think that was just something
that was
happened. But,
okay.
I don't think that was man-made, but I do think some of these storms are man-made, you know. And then you notice something happens in another part of the earth, and then it goes underneath the ocean, and then it comes over here.
It comes over. What about Katrina? Do you think that was man-made?
I think it was a nuclear thing somewhere else. Somebody had it. I think it tipped it off, and I think that it, you know, then came over there.
And it came over there. Well, as far as, like, they say that the Earth is going to totally, like, tip.
Oh,
like,
I know that. Yeah, I've seen that.
Do you believe?
I believe it is always right now in parts of California, falling off every day. But I think New Orleans, you know, new islands will come up. And I think that, you know, if we can make ourselves more calm, we'll have less Earth disasters.
Hmm. Well, that's a good thought. So we don't have to move out of California to keep from falling off the ocean as much as just get calm inside.
Stay calm inside, but you don't need to be right on the edge of the ocean, though.
No.
And
that's
I've been there
appear.
Many times in Beverly Hills and, you know, with the Haleys, Jack Haley Jr.'s mother and him, and, you know, they did the Wizard of Oz and his father. And, mm-hmm. She always said they were going to come to Texas when it got bad.
Okay.
And but they were putting them on shows and stuff. And it's shaky there, and I think the finger on California will fall off. But I think that, you know, parts of it will stay up.
Parts of, what about San Francisco, the Bay Area, the northern
parts
part?
Of edges, parts of edges, but that's a safer area, you know.
Safer, but the new.
Yeah, I used to call. Listen, I used to do shows there all the time every week, and then I'd tell them, I'd say we're going to have an earthquake in 2 days, and I actually had a lady move to Arizona during that time, and she saved all her furniture.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And a lot of people heard that show. I'd say you're going to have it because I used to feel it like in my chest. Strangely enough, my chest would kind of shake. And I throw up different parts of the earth. I thought it was feeling a disaster because there's always a disaster going on, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
And it got real aggravating. And I said, hey, Lord, you know, can I just feel this, you know, just pick it up in a thought instead of all over my body and get sick? And I get diarrhea if it was a volcano and that Columbia thing I predicted, you know. And, yeah, I was going, well, I'm just too sensitive, you know.
Yeah.
And, but then I kind of, the Lord helped me on that. And, I feel things in parts of my body, you know. And, I try to now just, you know, write them down. Or if I feel something, you know, I will just, you know, try to send a healing to it. And,
well, what about the chemtrails that everybody's seen?
What about the what now?
The chemtrails, you know, that are, have you heard of those, Fran? Those chemtrails, CHEM. They're all these, like, crisscross things that people look up and they see all the time. They call them chemtrails.
What I've heard about is power spots or ley lines. Is that what you're talking about?
It might be.
Yeah, ley lines are where certain places in the earth are power spot parts and kind of have like a, actually my farm had one of those. Of course, you know I'd pick a strange place, don't you? And
you would.
Yes, of course. And always. And, they're called, I think you're talking about ley lines. And they cross over, and there are certain spots that have energy, like in old Florida. Sometimes the land will sink below them. And I didn't know East Texas had any sinkholes, but I stood in one because I saw this lady that, you know, white, you know, and she told me to, and I had these healing ponds come up, hot and cold water, and And everybody put their feet in it, and my hearts were looking at me. All the hearts were looking at me so dumb, especially my lady. And she would look at me like, there's a pond over here, and she tried to push me in the big pond. And I'm going, the water came up when I stood in it. And I guess it was a hot one would really heal it, you know, it was on a line close to Texarkana, so mm-hmm. from Arkansas, and it must have been that line, you know. And so, anyway, it was very, you know, but yeah, ley lines have more power there, and you can create good things or bad things. I've even built things, strange things, the tires that went into the air, and, you know, I want a dream or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm the only one that would do that. But it did have healing powers, you know.
Healing
and
power.
The light, yeah, the light would hit the tower, and I started it off with a Tesla call, you know.
Right.
Nicole Tesla. And my ranch hands helped me build it. And it was, like, real tall. It was, like, 7 barrels, I think. And about 100 feet down was a real fast running creek, you know.
Right.
And and then I had little, you know, points where I had run it around. You could walk around it, and people would get healed.
Uh-huh. Wow, that sounds great. They would just walk around and get healed.
Yeah. But I didn't know it would do that at first, because all the lights in the county would go out in three different states when I meditated. But and all the trucks from the electrical people would come out and check it. They didn't have anything hooked up to it like that, so they couldn't really say anything. But
wow! What's going on?
I had a crystal on the top of it, and yeah.
Well, whenever you would. Would you recommend that people move to certain parts of the country or the world as far as safety, Fran, or do you think we all kind of should stay where we are? Or, you know, because a lot of people are concerned about the upcoming problems in the United States, or are there certain places, like the water, we're all going, oh, my God, you know, like there's not going to be enough water. Should we go?
We've got to, get better into, taking care of our planet.
Taking care of it. Yeah, like you're...
Yes. That's exactly right. And I think there will be enough water. I think that we just, right now, don't always treat our water well.
Well, that's it. We don't know that it's going to run out or that we're going to have problems.
What I mean
always...
is we don't... we put too much junk into it.
Yeah, too much junk. Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whenever, you know, we try to filter it.
But there
or
are places maybe some people should move. Depends on where you're at. But, I Peter Caddy, you know, years ago, you know him. And so anyway, I met him. I wanted to meet him, you know, 2 or 3 years before I met him. And then he was giving a talk up here at one of the churches. And he had founded Finhorn or something.
Finhorn, absolutely.
Yeah, and and where no food would grow, you know, the land was bad, and it was psychic would dream what they should plant, and then channel, and then when they did, well, it would if eventually he'd take two, if only two plants survived, you replant the next year, and things that keep growing, you know, and
they would get so big.
Yeah.
They would get huge. And
uh-huh.
he threw it on the, it was a garbage, something like that.
It was just sand. It was land. Nobody thought anything would grow, you know, there. And after so many years, he had the best in healing food, you know, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forgot how big the cabbages were. They were huge. And I did the same thing with a farm, you know.
Did you
my
really?
Ranch. It was really, yeah, first a farm, then I put it at a ranch. And, you know, my horses would break out, every time they thought the tomatoes and stuff were all ripe.
There go your horses.
So they didn't need the wall, but the ranch hand was trying to actually put together there. organic garden, but I'd hired people that didn't have any place to live, and I was, each one wanted to do their own thing. One wanted to make a choo-choo train around the farm on 62 acres. Another one wanted to make it just totally organic, you know. And so, anyway, it was really quite cute, but anyway.
Well, you know, the whole thing in a nutshell is like, I guess Mr. Caddy just had that intuition, didn't he, to go to Northern Scotland and do what he did, and he followed. Or was he led there, Fran? Did somebody lead him there, or did he just follow his intuition to go there?
I think he did follow his intuition, but he knew of a psychic transmedium kind of like me, and that's why he was so glad to find me. You know, and the last I heard, he went to Yellowstone, close to Yellowstone somewhere, but that was many years ago, and he wanted me to come, but I really didn't have time at the time, but I had been there, you know, and yeah, she would channel what they should do, and part of it, I think he was very intuitive also.
He was very intuitive. I don't know what's happened to Finhorn now, but it was a really...
No, he's not there, I don't think, anymore.
Gone, so it may be kind of closing down.
Come in. What happened was people, he left, and people started putting restrictions on him, and they started changing the rules. And I just feel like he had a healing energy, and he said he would put people that wanted to come there, he would have them clean the toilets. And when they were good at that, they were happy with that, well, then he'd put going to another thing, you know. And I had the farm at the time, so in a ranch, you know, and eventually became a ranch when I built the stalls and everything. And land was native land, and I had iridescent beetles that were extinct that were there, and it was really quite amazing, you know.
Wow. Well, it's so good that you came tonight. I tell you, Fran, we love you so much. I hope you'll come back and be part of that.
I will come back and I love you a lot. Your show's great, and you're helping a lot of people.
Well, we just love you so much, and I just, do you have any kind of song to end the show with, or?
Sure.
All right.
Okay. Turn my thing back on. I'm going to get tired card, I believe.
Right.
Way over here. But, yeah. Okay. Have you felt the miracles? Have you looked within your soul? There's a miracle of life just waiting now to begin within. Miracles are waiting now. Don't wait for them to start. Just let them begin. I found the miracles of life just yesterday. I lost so long ago when I was only 5 years old. I found the key of life, and the miracles began, and my life began to open up again. There you go.
Thank you, Fran. I love you so much. Thank you.
Love you. God bless everyone. God bless you.
Thank you, Fran. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.